so a lot of times that's what I'll do. How I write my blog post, for instance, is I'll sit in front of the camera.
Yeah.
I'll talk as long as I can get myself to talk about a topic, push that into ClipScribe or something like it, right? It's whatever, the tool like that. Then we'll title it for me, creates my blog post, and I send my blog copy to my design team. They put in some images for me. I get my blog post out of it. And then from that titled video, then I can grab screenshots for image only posts onto Insta or LinkedIn or something. And then you got a titled video also to then push onto YouTube and Vimeo and all the other places. Nice. So it becomes a very simple workflow that I could do all on my own if I wanted to, but I have the team to actually help also. So it's 3-in-1 right there.
That is a 3-in-1.
Thank you for tuning in to Hacks and Hobbies with your host, Junaid. We're visited by our amazing guests coming from all walks of life. We want to learn their story, their struggles, and their journey on how they got to where they are today. So stick around.
In this episode, I get to speak with Emmanuel Rose, a renowned author, speaker, and marketing expert with over 3 decades of experience in cutting-edge marketing strategies. Emmanuel is the founder and CEO of Strategic eMarketing, a successful digital marketing agency helping clients from $1 million to $25 million in revenue achieve their goals through authentic storytelling and result-driven marketing campaigns. With a background in psychology and a passion for exploring the natural world, Emmanuel brings a unique human-centered approach to marketing in the digital age. He's an accomplished author of books like Authenticity, Marketing to Generation Z, and The Social Media Edge, providing practical insights to help businesses connect authentically. Emmanuel has distinguished himself as an innovative thought leader, leveraging the power of digital marketing, social media, employee advocacy, and now artificial intelligence. His strategic thinking helps clients stay ahead of marketing trends to drive business growth. When he's not ideating game-changing marketing strategies, you can find Emmanuel recharging in nature, wandering towering forests, fly fishing, or absorbing the ocean's energy. I'm thrilled to have Emmanuel on the show today to share his marketing wisdom, stories, and advice for succeeding with authentic marketing in the age of AI. Emmanuel, thank you so much for coming on to the podcast.
I'm looking forward to our conversation. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, man. Let's take a journey back in time. Share your origin story, how you began, what essential thing enabled you to like jump on this venture that you're on currently in, and do you still consider that gear or that mindset essential today?
Yeah, it's funny. I was one of those kids, really early age, I think I was 4 or 5, the first time I got like the seed packet sales kit to go door to door because I wanted to buy a boomerang. I had this in my head. I'd seen an ad in the back of a comic book.
Yeah.
And so my parents went out with me and I went door to door and I sold whatever, 6 of the neighbors, some seed packets, and waited for 6 or 8 weeks until the packs came. And then I got the stuff. And so but that was my first job, my first experience with door-to-door sales. Mm-hmm. And I remember I just loved that transaction. I liked somebody saying yes. And the jolt of that adrenaline from putting myself out there and then having positive interaction.
That's definitely a very common experience that I've heard from entrepreneurs that I've been interviewing. Unfortunately, I did not have any of those experiences when I was growing up. Because I grew up in a totally different country, totally different mindset. There's so many different things. But coming here to the U.S. and then listening to folks growing up here, they're either mowing the lawn, they're selling door to door, they're doing some sort of selling.
Yeah.
It's really interesting.
Yeah. And I would still think it's still hard for I still consider myself learning to sell. Right. Mm-hmm. Even after at this point, almost 45, 46 years of it. Mm-hmm. there's the challenge of getting over the rejection and building a small relationship with somebody that you don't know and then getting the no, right? I still have that little prick of pain that happens mm-hmm. when it doesn't work. I don't know if it's ever going to go away for me, but when that, whatever that number is, when it does work out, it's amazing. And you just get into some kind of flow. It really is a cool experience.
Yeah, you're right. Over time, you don't feel as bad anymore. It's still going to hurt. It's almost like boxing, right? You're take the hits. You can yep. take more hits than you did in the beginning, and you can still keep standing. And that's the same thing with sales. And that's the same thing with the rejection. I don't know if you've heard of the story of Jia Jing, this Chinese gentleman. And he was like, you know what? I'm going to go through rejection therapy. And he learned something about it, saying, hey, go do 30 for 30 days, go ask for something very unusual and get a no. Like your goal is to get a no.
Right.
So let's forget 30. I'm going to do 100.
Right.
And as he's doing these 100 rejections, he's also recording himself along the process. So he has a whole TED talk around it. He wrote a book around this whole topic. It's really fascinating because the fact of the matter is you're going to feel that in your gut, even if it's almost a sure no. You know, okay, actually what happens is over time, you're not going to ask the same question or the people who have nothing to do with what you're trying to sell.
It's interesting. And the psychologists say that yes and no are the same because they provide clarity, mm-hmm. right? So that removes the psychology out of it and just says, hey, we're just looking for the data, right?
Yeah. Are you going to say yes or are you going to say no?
And well, that's interesting. I checked that out. I'd like to read that because I think that would help give me some ideas on how I can get over it myself.
Absolutely. And what my friend Pat Flynn talks about, when you go up on stage, you might feel, you're always going to feel nervousness, like stepping on the stage, because that butterfly effect or in your stomach goes to show that you care about the people you're about to go talk to. And I think the reason that we feel that rejection is because we care and we know that our solution can help solve the problem for them.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think so. Then maybe with that narrative, it's important to feel that rejection because you feel like you're not able to help them with something that you know they need the help with.
Yeah. Exactly. And so the book is called Rejection Therapy. I'll share the link in the show notes as well, but I'll send you the link. And I think over the time, he's created an app around it, but less about that, more about you. So as you discovered this, going down the journey of selling, you getting this feedback, the people are excited, and not just that, you also got to buy that boomerang.
Right. Yeah. So I did get the payoff, right? Which was, and I saw that connection between and the building of self-efficacy, right? Which is so critical for kids to learn early. And I'm lucky that I was part of a family that supported nobody in my family were really entrepreneurs, but they were hard workers. And they knew that if you're going to get something, you're going to spend some time working in order to get the outcome you want. So that was fortunate. Yeah.
So let's go deeper into how and what you work with your clients and how you help them. You mentioned earlier that you're on a few sales calls and how the background of their video wasn't as polished as most people that you've probably seen.
Yeah.
Or, and how can you help them get better at it? So let's go deep into how you work with people and what it is that you do.
Sure. Yeah. It's about 13 years ago, I got fired from a very short-term job that I had. They hired me to come in and be a change maker, and they told me not to do anything for 90 days. And then after the 90 days, they're like, you have no future here. So I'm like, okay, that's interesting. And that was just coming out of a bad engagement where I had done all this amazing work and just got reneged on that I was supposed to get. So I had two really bad experiences in a row like that. And I think I must be unmanageable and I just need to work for myself. Mm-hmm. And this was right as social media was really starting to become an unavoidable force in the market.
Yeah.
And so that's when I started the agency, marketing agency. And literally I was one chapter ahead of my clients in the beginning. And but with a very solid foundation of what it takes to create transactions and that, and how to have human to human conversations. Mm-hmm. And so that is what, over the last 13 years, and I still have clients that I started with in that first month. They're still my clients. So
yeah,
I've been able to stay a chapter ahead all this time. And it's not easy, especially in the last year with the advent of AI and all the things that are changing in world marketing. But the lead generation part and telling good stories and identifying not just problems, but identifying problems in a niched way so that you can very directly target the right people, right? Mm-hmm. Not just men that want to lose weight, but 55-year-old men with health conditions who need to build strength and change the way they eat and lose weight. Yeah. So the more that we can dive into demographics and psychographics and then tell those stories to those specific ideal clients, then the better the marketing is going to perform.
Now that's an excellent point. And it's funny because I was talking marketing today with my class, that I teach. I'm like, it's important to do some market research to understand who your demographic is. What type of marketing techniques, or sorry, research techniques are you going to use? Are you going to use focus groups? Are you going to use surveys? Are you going to use, you know, the different ways? And I love that you've got a book called Authentic Marketing to Generation Z, as well as The Social Media Edge, which provides practical insights to help businesses connect authentically. Now, let's go deeper into, let's say, the Gen Z marketing book. What inspired you, as you were working with companies the past 13 years, what inspired you to say, hey, this is a book that I want to write so that I can help even more people than the one that I'm working?
Yeah, it was when I started looking around and looking, I was a psych major in college, and I'm, you know, obviously a marketing nerd. And so always looking for psychographic clues for how to maneuver inside the marketplace. And then I saw this. Finally, I recognized that this is a bubble of 68 million people, the biggest sales group in the United States, and really that's worldwide, huge. But the United States is my specialty. So when I noted that, do some research, I'm like, oh, these are interesting characters, right? They're the first digital people. They've never known a day without the internet or mobile phones. They've seen every bad marketing trick and yeah, weak effort to sell things. They've given birth to these 20-year-old billionaires, you know,
that's right,
that are selling clothes. Their own force, and they're totally different than me, this old Gen X guy. Totally different, right? So I went in and I started to look psychographically at what it takes to talk to them and how to have conversations. That's the authentic piece, right? Is that we're not just selling things to people, but we want to understand where they're at in the human cycle of life and help them achieve their goals and objectives.
Mm. No, that's so true, because you want to speak their language, right? So they understand, and not just their language, but also bring in your authentic story. And I can't wait to go deeper into the book.
Yeah, the concept of the social CEO is really what it wraps around, right? This Kylie Jenner, Richard Branson, Elon Musk kind of character. So they're the rock star versions, but then all of us have the opportunity to do the same thing in terms of giving little peeks into who we are as human beings, right? What community events do we go to in the course of a month? Who are our favorite clients and what are they doing? What are the employee of the month and what are they doing and what are their family about? And how am I spending my time when I'm not at work? So these little vignettes of insight into who we are as humans is valuable, and we want to emulate the positive side of the social CEO, right?
The social CEO, that's a new term that I hadn't heard. This is the first time I'm hearing it, a social CEO, because you're using social media as a platform to gain authority, or tell me more.
The way I didn't come up with the term. It was a book that was written about 6 years ago.
Okay.
But the idea that the CEO, or my interpretation is that it's the CEO is the primary influencer for the brand or the company.
Gotcha.
And who better to tell the story than the person who has their finger on all the areas of the business, from customer to production to finance. And so it's not only is it a good idea, an easier thing for the marketing department, but it is necessary to be able to sell into the giant market of 68 million people.
Nice. I love it. So let's say there's a new company emerging, and what are some of the steps that they should be taking to, say, market to this new audience? Or does it even make sense for new businesses to target this broad demographic?
Yeah, I guess it depends. If it's B2B or B2C, that's the first question. If it's B2C, then probably, yeah. These people are 27 years old, between 12 and 27 right now. So they're in every buying area of the economy at this point, from houses and life insurance down to stickers for a lunchbox, right?
Yeah. I mean,
so anything that's direct consumer is going to need to understand this group. The simplest way to engage this that I've found is for the CEO to schedule on Monday morning at 8:15 every Monday, 90 seconds with the iPhone, and pick one of the areas of the business to talk about: product development, employees, customers, social engagement in terms of actual community work. And talk about one of those four things for 90 seconds, put the video at the desk, email that video to marketing or to the agency or to your brother-in-law, whoever's doing your marketing, and then let the marketing magic happen from that 90-second clip. And that builds a familiarity with the process and telling the stories. And that practice will yield amazing results for social and marketing in general.
So that's once a week, every Monday, record this video, send it to your marketing team, and let them push it out to the socials to essentially market the company, essentially show the people, hey, this is what's going on in the CEO's mind, and this is how business works.
Yeah. And then because the thing that I see is there's those of us who are not, that didn't grow up like this, like I was trained in business that we don't talk about our personal life, and
right,
we're just there to do our transaction. Maybe we go to dinner once, high level information, but we're not sharing all this stuff, right?
Right.
But that's not relevant anymore the way we were trained. What's relevant now is that we need to engage and share the fullness of our humanness to some extent.
I love that. And I think we went in our initial chat, you had talked about working on the road or traveling a lot. I think that's something that you love to do, like recharging in nature, wandering towering forests and fly fishing, or absorbing the ocean's energy.
Yeah, I have a commitment to be out in nature at least 1 week a month. And so, like, I just got back from a road trip where I drove 4,000 miles. I drove all the way north into Canada and hunting and fishing and camping. And it's just getting out of my normal comfort zone. Mm-hmm. And then time sitting and reflecting and watching the river go by and recharging that way. And I think that fuels me, right? The memory of having done it, and then the next one that I'm looking forward to,
yeah,
gives me a lot of ability then to push through this, all this junk that we all have to do that we don't want to do. That's what motivates me. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. So a weekly post on how a CEO works their business, how they're working product development, marketing, what have you, how you're working with the clients. Pick one topic and talk about it. Now, as they're doing this, it's bringing them more awareness, right? Speaking, bringing them awareness. What else is it doing for them?
It is, it's giving them some idea. They're going to get ideas from the feedback from the marketplace about which topics are interesting to other people, mm-hmm. right? So we're going to see from content where there's traction, where there's likes and comments and reshares, and then we're going to build out more of that type of content. Mm. And none of us are smarter than the marketplace. So we have to send out these little trial balloons to understand what our prospects and customers and potential staff want to see from us.
That's so good, because you want to get that feedback from your target audience and understand, hey, this is what the type of information they're looking for. And this is what can help us stand out in front of the other competition or other collaborators, other people doing the same thing. And I think it also creates that know, like, and trust factor as people see you more and more.
I agree 100%. And that this, the, there's something that happens when you just, when you see somebody a lot. Like if you were to see, if you're a football fan and you've watched Aaron Rodgers your entire life playing quarterback, and then you see him on the street, you're going to run up to him and, and embrace him like he's a friend of yours, even though the guy doesn't know you.
He has
from
no idea who you are. It's like, that's so true.
So yeah, that's the same idea. Absolutely.
And what's interesting is I was watching Gary Vaynerchuk, and we all know Gary V. Right. He was speaking at this event. He's, here's what I want you to do. And I'm going to, you're going to hate me when I say this. It's like the next words that come out of my mouth, you're going to hate me. And here's what he said. He's like, when you go back home tomorrow, create 8 to 15 pieces of content on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, TikTok, and some other places that he mentioned. He's, because the more frequency of content that you put out, you are, especially in the service industry, people are going to see you more and are more likely to pick you as opposed to the next person who isn't posting as much content.
For sure. Yeah. The challenge always is, what do I talk about? That's what, when you're just getting it started. And that's why I would go through that really simple content calendar, which is, what am I doing in the community? Who are my favorite customers? What am I, who do I like in my staff right now? And then what are we doing with product for the next version of our customers?
So basically what you're saying
every CEO knows those things.
The CEOs need to know, hey, what my industry is, what my topics are, and then how can I then talk about it? Now, let's say it's a brand new entrepreneur. He's trying to make a name for themselves. What are some of the things that they should be starting with?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's the whole process of starting the company, right? The journey that everybody loves to hear, those, the birth, just like you've done here, right? You telling the origin story. And so they're getting to tell that origin story in real time. And then they will build a group of people who are emotionally connected to that business as well as that person. And then to in those posts to draw in and get the feedback that we've been talking about, so that we can, they can build that great product or series of products or services that are, is filling a gap in the marketplace.
So essentially you need to create content and get in front of people to get some feedback.
Yeah. And so, sometimes your content gets nothing and you're like, okay, well, that's a good indicator. Even my mom didn't like it.
That's so true. It discourages us. Going back to that rejection therapy acts as a rejection. Oh my God, I got rejected. Nobody liked what the stuff that I'm talking about. That's interesting. And I think a really powerful quote by Usain Bolt, and we all know who he is, right? I worked 4 years to set a record of 9-second race. 4 years. He trained for 4 freaking years, and we'll work on something for 2 months and we don't get any feedback. And I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to do this anymore.
Yeah, that's a good point. The lack of perseverance, right? Yeah, the other thing is that we have to take a little bit of the artist philosophy. Say, I'm going to create this thing and make it the best that I can.
Yeah.
And I, that in its own right is success. And hopefully other people like it. If not, that's okay, because I'm going to create something tomorrow and it's going to be the best thing I can create tomorrow. And so the connection to what other people think, we've got to sever that.
Amen. Let's jump into something that is on everybody's mind. And this is continually growing faster and faster. As you mentioned earlier, artificial intelligence, AI, is growing at a very rapid pace, right? Just earlier this week, they announced that you can now create your own version of GPT. What are your thoughts and how can artificial intelligence help with digital marketing?
Yeah, that's a great, that is the question that everybody has in their mind right now. And it's interesting because artificial intelligence has been around since the 50s. And
yes, it has.
I started reading books on AI and marketing probably about 8 years ago. Mm-hmm. And but we just have hit this crest, right, with the cloud computing and the avalanche of tools.
It's more accessible now,
Yeah. So it's the recommendation I'm making is look and see where you're spending your most time in your marketing process.
Mm-hmm.
And then go to some of these. There's some sites that are, they aggregate all the tools based on function.
Gotcha.
And go and pick a couple of the tools. Say if it's copywriting, very easy, right? We know there's Chat, there's Claude, there's Bard, and then there's a bunch of bolt-on products, AI or PM or things like that, where you get these bolt-ons to Chat and test 1, 2, 3 of them and see how you can build your voice into each of them, where you're getting good hallucination-free copy and how long it takes you to clean each of those up so that it is real, right? So you do your time study and then you're analyzing it from a functional point of view rather than getting wrapped up into, I got to do all of it all at the same time.
Right. You do it with a plan by doing one thing at a time and one sliver of it at a time so that you can get better at understanding, oh, okay, this is how this tool works. This is how this tool works. And this is going to help me get to that next level faster.
Yeah. I think that's the rational way to approach it, especially for entrepreneurs, people that are less than 20 employees, less than 50 employees. You just don't have the resources to go all in on it. Right.
Agreed. And I think what's really cool is companies like Google and Microsoft integrating these AI technologies. Even Canva can do so many things. Like you can just ask it, hey, create a presentation on this topic on blah, blah, blah. It'll go and create that presentation for you. I think it's really powerful what is available to us. It just comes down to that instead of analyzing everything, you need to actually do it and push it out to the world.
Yeah. And I think the challenge for me as a creative and a philosopher, I'm one of these guys. And so when it comes down to trying to write a prompt that a piece of software understands, it's hard. I've got to, that's real work for me. And sometimes it's quicker for me to just blast out 300 words than it is to write the prompt to get the chat to put the 300 words out, right?
That's so interesting because you're so good at creating those content for the past many years, right? So you've already trained your intelligence to output that information because you have that back-end knowledge. And that's essentially what we're doing with ChatGPT and with for the past few years. Like when they actually launched AI or OpenAI back in 2015, that model was really small and they've been training it over the years. And the reason it's so much better now is because they've continued to train it, added more functionality and give it more data.
Yeah, it's fascinating. And I can't wait to see where we are in 12 months.
Yes.
Because it really has, for most intents and purposes, it's streamlined a lot of what we do in marketing and application of these AI tools, especially around video and clip creation. But it still takes human interaction to be able to clean it up. And then human to look at it and say, is this even on brand, right? Is this even on topic for the demo that we're going after? So it's not the silver bullet yet.
No, you're so right, because based on what it's giving you, the information that it's giving you might make sense for it, but not necessarily for how you talk and how your language and messaging is for your clients.
Yeah, so prompt creation, really studying the prompt creation right now is really, I think, where you can put time in and create a valuable asset for yourself as a marketer.
I love it, man. Dude, this has been so much fun talking about marketing, talking about AI, talking about the importance of understanding your demographic and your target client or target avatar, because getting that messaging right is going to help you be a better marketer and more strategic as well.
I agree. There's a good nutshell right there.
Let's take a quick break. And when we get back, you'll share 3 hacks that the audience can take with them and implement it for their own marketing journey after the break. Looking for the ultimate live streaming and video production studio? Discover Ecamm Live, exclusively built for Mac. It's the leading solution for podcasting webinars, live streaming, and more. Elevate your content creation game and bring your ideas to life with eKIAM Live. Head on over to hacksandhobbies.com/eKIAM and download your studio today. Start creating with eKIAM Live and elevate your audience engagement. Download now from hacksandhobbies.com/eKIAM or tap on the link in the show notes. Hey guys, welcome back to the episode. We've been talking with Emmanuel Rose on the podcast. He's an amazing CEO for the company Strategic eMarketing. He's been doing this as a digital marketing agency, helping clients with revenues from $1 million to $25 million to achieve their goals through authentic storytelling and results-driven marketing campaigns. And this really lights me up because marketing is the number one thing that you should be focusing on after you've developed the product, of course, because your company cannot survive without marketing, without sales, without bringing the fuel in the show. And that's where marketing comes into place. So thank you for creating that company and helping tons and tons of authentic entrepreneurs.
You bet. Yeah, it's been an interesting ride, and I'm glad I've been able to stay one chapter ahead, everybody.
I love that so much. One chapter ahead of everybody so that you can tell them, hey, this is what's coming up.
Yeah.
Get ready for it. Love it. Yeah. So Emmanuel, take us down the path and share with us the three hacks you have that marketers or entrepreneurs can implement in their businesses.
You bet. There's a great service that I use. It's called ClipScribe. And it takes video and then it creates the titling for you. And then it creates the transcript. So
you're
able to take that. So a lot of times that's what I'll do. How I write my blog post, for instance, is I'll sit in front of the camera.
Yeah.
I'll talk as long as I can get myself to talk about a topic, push that into ClipScribe or something like it. Right. It's whatever the tool like that. Then it will title it for me, creates my blog post, and I send my blog copy to my design team. They put in some images for me. I get my blog post out of it. And then from that titled video, then I can grab screenshots for image only posts onto Insta or LinkedIn or something. And then you got a titled video also to then push onto YouTube and Vimeo and all the other places. Nice. So it becomes a very simple workflow that I could do all on my own if I wanted to, but I have the team to actually help also. So it's 3-in-1 right there.
That is a 3-in-1. You start with one video. That's your first hack. Start with a video that has all of the messaging that you want to do. And then use this application to do the other types of posts. So really powerful one for sure. Man, 1-in-3. That's 3-in-1 right there for you guys. Start. All right. So
I'm a master of precision.
The master of precision. I love it, man. I think that's what happens when you spend so much time with the nature and you see the beauty of nature and how it's just completely simplistic, but it's serving so many things all at the same time.
Yeah. So yeah, complex and simple simultaneously.
Yeah. All right. Let's jump into the rapid fire questions I love to ask my guests.
Yeah.
Number one, what is the one hobby that you wish you got into?
Playing the guitar is still in the back of my mind. Like, you're not too old, you could still do it. But I would, at some point, I'm hoping that I will pick up a guitar.
I think what you need to do is you need to take your guitar on a river because you're sitting there anyways. Might as well play some music for the animals.
Yeah, maybe.
You never know. Next up, what did you want to be when you were a child?
I wanted to be a tight end for the Oakland Raiders.
Nice.
Yeah.
Now, but Oakland Raiders, were they, which city were they part of back then?
Yeah, that's when they were still in Oakland before they moved to Los Angeles, before they moved back to Oakland and before they moved to Las Vegas.
They're in Vegas now? I had no idea.
Yeah.
That's crazy. All right, next up. What is your favorite movie or TV show?
Oh, geez. My favorite show right now is probably that Jack Reacher.
Mm.
I read all those books and it's been fun to watch that. I also really like The Bosch. that Bosch series.
Bosch series, yeah.
Yeah. Those so I like them. Like a complex story with good characters. Like characters that act like real humans versus crazy, insane people. So
I like that so much. All right, next up. What movie would you choose if you got to play a character in it?
Oh, I think Ocean's 11.
Ocean's 11.
Yeah.
That, which character would you pick in that movie?
Oh, man, that'd be a tough one. I think I'd want to be the Brad Pitt character because he was always eating and he always had these great shirts on.
He'd never be hungry, right? Like, hey, this is my character. I get to eat. Okay, you guys sit back.
Yeah.
I like it. All right, next up, who is your favorite superhero?
Bruce Willis in Unbreakable.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So he had this kind of clairvoyant capacity and he would take it out on the bad guys once he picked up psychically what their crime was.
Yeah, that's so cool. All right, next up and the last question. If you were a board game, what would it be?
Oof. A board.
Go.
Yeah.
Let's just go.
Go. You got to have strategy and you got to take risks.
That's right. I love it, man. I love it. All right, so thank you so much for coming on, sharing your wisdom, sharing your story. I absolutely loved all of that. And you've got a few books out. We'll be sure to share the links in the show notes. Where can entrepreneurs find you if they want to get in touch?
Yeah, you can go to emmanuelrose.com and all my contact information is there.
Fantastic, man. Emmanuel, thank you so much for your time again. And we'll catch you in the next episode.
Thank you for listening to Hacks and Hobbies. You can find additional information on the guest today on their website, hacksandhobbies.com. Please feel free to subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss out on upcoming interviews with amazing guests.